Please do be seated. If you want an adventure story, then I suggest after lunch this afternoon you turn to the book of Acts. We are coming to the time when Paul was in Athens, but before that he had been travelling from what we now know as Turkey, and he went to Philippi, and there was the excitement of the conversion of Lydia, and also Paul and Silas were imprisoned there, and then there was the breakout from prison, or rather they didn't break out, because they could have done, and the jailer was converted, and the city rulers weren't very happy about all what was happening, so he was asked to leave. One thing we can say about Paul, he does not try to be popular. He then went on to Thessalonica, and the Jews objected to what he had to say there, and then he moved on to Berea, and the crowd were incited by others who came and followed Paul from Thessalonica. It was a very topsy-turvy journey. Trouble seemed to follow Paul where he went. But he knew that he was doing what God wanted him to do. And I'm just going to read the five verses before our reading this morning. And the lectionary composers do tend to cut around a little bit. So I'm just going to read verses 16 to 21. While Paul was waiting in Athens for Silas and Timothy, he was greatly upset when he noticed how full of idols the city was. So he held discussions in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentiles who worshipped God, and also in the public square every day with the people who happened to pass by. Certain Epicurean and Stoic teachers also debated with him. Some of them asked, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others answered, "He seems to be talking about foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took Paul, brought him before the city council, the Areopagus, and said, "We would like to know what this new teaching is that you are talking about. Some of the things we hear you say sound strange to us, and we would like to know what they mean." For all the citizens of Athens and the foreigners who live there like to spend all their time telling and hearing the latest new thing. Not much has changed in the world. I wanted to read that because it sets the very important background to our reading, which starts when Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are." And he was saying that because he had observed that the city, as it says in verse 16, was swamped with idols. One ancient proverb of the time said that in Athens there were more gods than humans. A fascinating insight into the idolatry that pervaded that time. That time? Perhaps our time too, but we'll look more at that. He was particularly upset about the idolatrous use of the God-given creativity which he had, and he was wanting to bring to their attention that all that they did was just denying the Creator God who he was coming to talk about. Paul was greatly distressed by what he saw. And the Greek word uses is paroxysm. And we know what paroxysm is as we are overtaken by tides of passion. And that's not a bad thing, actually, to be impassioned about our faith. And that ongoing feeling that Paul had was against the blatant idolatry and the subsequent behaviour that idolatry pertains. His feelings, his emotions, led him to action. And that's one of the things I hope that we can take away today, is that there are things that upset us in our world, that concern us. What do we do? Do we respond by action, by doing and saying, as Paul did here? He responded to what he saw and he spoke to the Athenians. But he respected that he saw them as being extremely religious. Actually, it's a bit ironical, that, because the same word can mean, I think you're thoroughly superstitious. But the way that he put the context, he was honouring what they were trying to do. They were acknowledging that here, as we see him say, there is an unknown God that they are worshipping. And what Paul was wanting to do was not to offend, but to engage. Now, you might like to look at the second reading on our pew sheet this morning, which is 1 Peter 3. And at the bottom of that middle column, we hear Peter say, "Be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence." So stand up for what we believe is right, but don't cause unnecessary offence. Challenge, yes, but honour where people are. And what Paul was doing here was recognising that there is that spiritual centre, as it's often described, in all of us. And he was saying, look beyond your idols. I will come and introduce you to your unknown God. And where did Paul go to do this? Well, we read that he went to the synagogue with the Jews and where the Gentiles were who worshipped God. He went to the marketplace to meet with the ordinary people day by day. And he went, which is where our reading starts, to what was the supreme council of the city. The Areopagus is the hill of Area, and it was no longer where the court met, but that was the origin of that expression, and it defines the city council. Paul was making himself known in those places. His ministry was not unobtrusive, but was very visible to the community around him. And indeed, the churches that he established on his missionary journeys impacted the communities in which they were placed. So this was Paul's calling on this missionary journey that Paul had called him to visit and to speak God's word to the people he met. And as we see here in Athens, he did this by getting to know the culture and the presence of people where they were at. And what's our calling? We, each of us, have different hobbies, interests, and friendships. And they take us to where people are, in our village, in our town, in the communities where we live day by day. Each of us has a unique calling and a unique ministry. I'm going to repeat that. Each of us has a unique calling and a unique ministry. You each know people that nobody else does. And as we come from Ascension Day to Pentecost, we're being invited to pray for those we know who do not yet acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And you have people that you can pray for. And as you leave today, I invite you to take the green sheets that set out some prayer topics, some the streets in our village, some prayer meetings that we're going to have over those 10 days, so that we can meet together if we're able, or pray for our community if we're not, so that we can lift people up and pray that they come to meet with our God. A year ago, many of you were here with me and welcomed Nikki and me as we started our ministry here. And we said together that we would dedicate ourselves afresh to the service of God in this community and the call which God makes of each one of us. So each of us is called as a Christian, but with unique qualities for that unique ministry. So where could we go? We can bring people to hear God's word here in our church. We can go into our pub, into our shops. And some of us, I know, are able to witness in our council chambers through the contacts and calling that we have of serving our community. What was Paul's agenda? Paul was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection, verse 18. Others answered, "He seems to be talking about foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. We'll see what the impact of Paul's preaching had upon his relationship with the people there. Paul was unambiguous about what he had to say. He was visible in saying it, and it stresses the importance that we, in all our conversations, have the ability, as we read in Peter, to speak of the hope that we have. We need to understand and be able to talk about the essence of our faith as Christians. Paul also used the culture of the society that he was speaking to. He quotes from a couple of Greek philosophers in verse 28. He says, as someone has said, "In him we live and move and exist, and we too are his offspring." And he's quoting Greek philosophers who had words to say that he was able to interpret into a Christian essence. Our agenda, as I say, we can find the place where God has called us to live and serve. And we are called to serve through showing the love that we read about in the gospel this morning. We are called to show God's love in our care for one another, in our welcome and our hospitality to people who come across our paths. And we are called to encourage one another, to be that Barnabas that we each need to hear to support us in the work that we do. Anyone without faith can be caring, can show hospitality, and can be an encourager. That's being a good citizen in the world. But our agenda is to fulfill God's purpose. And it's important that we are able to speak of God's love and our obedience to that love in all that we do and say. Paul's motivation was to make known the unknown God. And he says, "What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." And Paul then starts by declaring the wonders of our Creator God. The God who made the world and everything in it. He who is Lord of heaven and earth. He is, Paul says, also the giver of life to all. We are his offspring by creation, but also his children by adoption. And then he really wanted to stress that God is not dependent upon us. Now that's a funny thing for me to say perhaps, but of course the idols that the Greeks worshipped were entirely dependent on their physical form, on those who then went on to worship them. Very odd. And it is what Paul was trying to highlight is we are dependent upon God, not God dependent upon us. And what Paul then goes on to say is that there comes a time when he will command all people to repent. While God, he says, has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness. And we know that Jesus is that judge, and he has given us the means that we will be judged right. And you will recall our Lenten course, where we looked at how we are put right by God through Christ alone, through grace alone, through faith alone. And if we hold to those, then we are judged, but we are judged righteous. So what is our motivation? Our motivation is to witness to what God has done through Christ in our lives. It's to share the word of God and the work of ministry, as I reminded us of our mutual commitment when you supported me at my institution here, that we are in this together, and I need your support for the work of ministry that God has called me to in this place. And there are two key texts that I want us to remember today, and we looked at these at our PCC the other evening. We looked at the Great Commandment, where Jesus talks about calling us to make disciples of all people. And in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And then in the Great Commandment, he talks about love and obedience, which is picked up here by John in our Gospel reading this morning. And there's a fascinating structure to this text, which is called an inclusio. The first words are mirrored in the last words. If you love me, says Jesus to his disciples, you will keep my commandments. And then just before the end of this piece, he says, those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. So it's emphasizing that love and obedience go together. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, and he is telling them that he is going to make available through God the Father the Spirit of Truth, the Advocate who came to the disciples on that first Pentecost, which we celebrate in 3 weeks' time. Interesting that Paul highlighted to the Athenians about the unknown God. And I sometimes wonder whether to us today the Holy Spirit is still an unknown part of God. And a small reflection on this, how in our world God and Jesus are used as words of blasphemy, but you never hear the Holy Spirit actually being used as a swear word, which is fascinating because people actually probably don't understand and know about him. But he is so important to us. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us what Jesus wants us to know. And we'll be looking at that later on Trinity Sunday as the model for our relationships one with another, as we look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as I draw to a close, I just want us to think about, do we have a passionate response, as Paul did, to those things around us? Not just see things, but really observe them and respond to them. Things about justice and equality in our world. Those are relatively easy things for us to respond to, and we can make our contribution to those organisations who are attempting to bring justice and equality into our unjust world. But as individuals, we are called to overcome those things that pervade our society today: idolatry, hypocrisy, blasphemy. Modern idols of our world pervade everything around us. And I leave you to think about those things that particularly strike you. But I do invite you to respond passionately, as Paul did, with those paroxysms of distress that I read to you from the first part, from the chapter 16 in the reading. Are we offended by the world's behaviour, or are we inured to it and just accept it for what it is? I think that's a challenge to all of us. How are we responding to the way the world lives? The way that we treat one another? Are we deaf to what Jesus has said to us in both the Great Commission and the Great Commandment? Are we honouring God? Hallowed be your name. In all that we see, in the creation around us, in each other. And may we hallow his name as we pray for our village, our neighbourhood and our community, especially with the wave of prayer over these next 2 weeks. There was an interview with the Prime Minister, which was in the paper this morning, and she said, if you are a person of faith, then faith underpins how you approach life. And I thought that was a wise word for us all to take away. How does our faith, how firm is it a foundation for all that we are, all that we are called to be and to do? And that foundation is highlighted by the sharing together that we will have around the table here this morning as we share the bread and the wine as a memorial of Jesus' own love and obedience to God's command, and as he has set a model for our love and obedience to his command to us. Let us pray. Father, as we gather around your table today, may we especially remember all that Jesus has taught us through his great commandment to love and obey, and through that commission to send us out to make disciples of all people. Equip us, enable us, and encourage us to respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.